In our studio, Mara Liasson and Ron Elving. You know, what's happening right now is on the Republican side, I mean, we're getting narratives and counter-narratives from the Democrats. We have Texas caucuses going on after the Texas primary. We have complications over superdelegates on the Democratic side. Very cut and dried in the GOP. John McCain, one enough delegates today to get the nomination. And he now is prepared to address his supporters. Mike Huckabee, the last opponent of McCain's in the Republican primary field, has spoken this evening and has withdrawn from the race. So we heard an excerpt of his speech a few minutes ago. And now it's up to the Arizona Republican, who sought this nomination from 2000, ran second to George Bush, to now look ahead to the Republican convention in Minneapolis-St. Paul, where he's likely to be the man. John McCain now addressing his supporters.
In Dallas.
I am very grateful for the broad support you have given our campaign, and I am very, very grateful and pleased to note that tonight, my friends, we have won enough delegates to claim with confidence, humility, and a great sense of responsibility that I will be the Republican nominee for President of the United States. I want to thank all of you here, all the Republicans, independents, and independent-thinking Democrats in all parts of the country who supported our campaign for the nomination and have brought us across the finish line first, an accomplishment that once seemed to more than a few doubters unlikely. My friends, I know that all of us want to again commend my friend Governor Mike Huckabee. He's a great and fine and decent American, and we appreciate the campaign he run, his supporters, for their passionate commitment to their campaign that Governor Huckabee so ably represented. And I also want to thank all my former rivals for the nomination and their supporters for their steadfast dedication to keeping America safe, prosperous, and proud. Of course, I want to thank my family, my wife Cindy, my children. My children and our dear friends who have been throughout this campaign and will remain in the challenging months ahead an unwavering source of support and love. My friends, now we begin the most important part of our campaign, to make a respectful, determined, and convincing case to the American people that our campaign and my election as president, given the alternatives presented by our friends in the other party, are in the best interest of the country we love. I have never believed I was destined to be president. I don't believe anyone is predestined to lead America. But I do believe that we were born with responsibilities to the country that has protected our God-given rights and the opportunities they afford us. I didn't grow up with the expectation that my country owed me more than the rights owed every American. On the contrary, I owe my country every opportunity I have ever had. I owe her the meaning that service to America has given my life. And in the sense that I'm part of something greater than myself, part of a kinship of ideals that have always represented the last best hope of mankind. I understand the responsibilities I incur with this nomination, and I give you my word, I will not evade or slight a single one. Our campaign must be and will be more than another tired debate of false promises, empty sound bites, or useless arguments from the past that address not a single of America's concerns for their family's security. My friends, presidential candidates are judged on their record, their character, and the whole of their life experiences. But we're also expected to concentrate our efforts on the challenges that will confront America on our watch and explain how we intend to address them. As you well know, America is at war in two countries and involved in a long and difficult fight with violent extremists who despise us, our values, and modernity itself. It is of little use for Americans for their candidates to avoid the many complex challenges of these struggles by relitigating decisions of the past. I will defend the decision to destroy Saddam Hussein's regime as I also criticize the failed tactics that were employed for too long to establish the conditions that will allow us to leave that country with our country's interests secure and our honor intact. But Americans know that the next president doesn't get to remake that decision. We're in Iraq, and our most vital security interests are clearly involved there. The next president must explain how he or she intends to bring that war to the swiftest possible conclusion without exacerbating a sectarian conflict that could quickly descend into genocide, destabilizing the entire Middle East, and enabling our adversaries in the region to extend their influence and undermine our security there, and emboldening terrorists to attack us elsewhere with weapons we dare not allow them to possess. The next president of the United States must encourage the greater participation and cooperation of our allies in the fight against al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Afghanistan. He must do that.
We've been listening to John McCain speaking to his supporters in Dallas tonight. John McCain has clinched the Republican nomination for the race for president. Mike Huckabee dropped out of the race tonight, and we're going to talk about this result and others with our two political analysts, Matthew Continetti with the Weekly Standard and E.J. Dionne with the Washington Post. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you.
Matthew, let me start with you there, talking about the Iraq war and the swiftest, bringing that war to the swiftest possible conclusion, but with our honor intact.
You know, it's fascinating listening to John McCain. You realize he wants to have a national security election, even as the electorate is moving toward an economic election. Now, in the Republican primary, that's exactly what was happening as well. Mitt Romney wanted to have a primary based on economic issues. McCain played the surge card, turned it into a national security election, and won. I think it's possible for McCain to do that again in a general election contest, especially since he's so identified with the surge that seems to be working in Iraq. However, it's going to be very difficult, and we could have a replay of 1992, where George H.W. Bush wanted to talk about Desert Storm, Desert Storm. Bill Clinton had the economy.
E.J. Dionne, do you think that is a winning strategy for John McCain, or do you see that that could be trouble for him in November?
You know, what's been striking in looking at these exit polls as these primaries have proceeded is that the economy just keeps growing as an issue. So I think it's going to be very hard for him to have as much of a foreign policy election as he wants, given where the voters are. I was also struck that in this speech tonight, he very much said what he didn't want the election to be about. He said he didn't want to relitigate the decisions of the past. The next president, he said later, doesn't get to remake that decision to go to Iraq. The Democrats wanted the election to be about his decision and President Bush's decision to go to war in Iraq and argue that that was the wrong decision and therefore it's time for a change. McCain is clearly trying to push that away already.
Let's do a little recap of what has happened tonight. John McCain won all four primaries tonight, Vermont, Rhode Island, Ohio, and Texas, and has clinched the nomination. On the Democratic side, Robert, not so clear-cut. We have a split decision, Barack Obama winning in Vermont, Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton winning in Rhode Island, and who knows in Texas and Ohio.
That's right. We've seen exit polls. We don't see a runaway victory for anyone from the exit polls in either Ohio or Texas, and so we're reduced to that old-fashioned form of election night behavior, which is counting the votes.
Watching the returns.
Watching the returns and seeing who actually has more at the end of the evening. In Ohio, by the way, we should warn you, that could be really late this year. This could be beyond our bedtime. We should be honest about it. Because in addition to chronic problems, it seems, with counting the votes in Ohio, they had real machine problems this year and terrible weather, which kept some polls open.
And
well.
In Texas, I think we're hearing a two-step, or Bob Wills,
yes,
I don't know what,
yes.
But they're doing the two-step in Texas, meaning there's a primary, which is over, and a caucus, which should be over but may not be, as they wrap up the votes there. So lots still to come. And you can listen to live coverage of the March 4th primaries from NPR News coming up on many of these NPR stations.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.